Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is Wednesday, September 18th. Hump day, as many of us like to say. All right, get over the hump. Two more days into the weekend. All right, hope you guys are having a great week so far as you hit the middle of the week, and we plan on making your week a bit better with a very entertaining and enlightening hour of current sports headed your way. I must apologize, though. I probably sound a bit nasally right now. My allergies are on 20 right now. I can't even front. I've been dealing with them for like the past 2 weeks, but they're really, really bad right now. And my nose is basically saying, what in the world is going on, Al? So bear with me throughout this hour, okay? And for those watching the live stream, you'll probably see me, you know, sniffing a little bit, turning off my mic. I'm just warning you guys, all right? So, but welcome to this Wednesday edition of Current Sports. I'm feeling good. You know, with my allergies hampering me, I didn't get a chance to do my nightly routine of going to the gym. I spent most of the night on my couch, and I highly recommend this. You guys know I love to talk pop culture from time to time. And if you have not seen the show Snowfall, oh my goodness, it's unreal, unbelievable. It's on. I'm really late to this party. My homies have been telling me, Al, you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. I'm busy. You know, I'm watching this other show. But I finally watched season one. I started season one last night, and I actually finished all 10 episodes in one sitting. Yeah, it shows you how hooked I was on the show. But I see why many people are calling the young, talented actor that he is, Damson Idris. A lot of people are calling him the next Denzel. The kid is amazing in that. So check it out. If you want something to binge watch when you're not watching sports, check out Snowfall on FX. I finished season one last night. Amazing. And they're on season three right now. Rest in peace, though, to the great John Singleton, who is the creator of the show, the director, the writer. He sadly passed away, as you guys know, back in April. You know, he's best known for directing a lot of hood classics like Boys in the Hood. With Ice Cube and, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lawrence Fishburne was in that movie. Just a classic. So rest in peace, John Singleton. All right. I'm done pubbing Snowfall. They should pay me for that. Let's pub the show now. On today's current sports, as I promised you at the end of yesterday's show, we're going to dive into some Detroit Lions football talk. All right. Because the Lions right now are undefeated. Yeah. Rarely do we get a chance to say that, right? They are undefeated, technically, because they have tied one game and they have won one game. They tied that first game against the Arizona Cardinals on the road to open up the year. Should have been a win, but yeah, I'm not going to harp on that anymore. In week two, on Sunday, in the home opener, they were able to get the dub against the Los Angeles Chargers. Got some takeaways from that game, all right? Also, later on this hour, we are going to dive into some Michigan football chatter as Michigan and Wisconsin will go at it this weekend. And Michigan is a dog in this game. That's right. They are not the favorite. According to whatever sports book you look at right now, the last time I checked it last night,
Michigan was sitting at a 3-point underdog on Bovada.com. All right. So we'll dive into that a little bit. And also, a lot of people are, how can I put this? They have mixed emotions when it comes to what Mark D'Antonio had to say yesterday about his defense. I'll explain that story in just a moment. All right? So a lot to get to. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there and comment below the video. You can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. We start here with Michigan State women's golf news as three Spartans placed in the top 10 as MSU women's golf took third at the season opening Glass City Invitational out in Toledo, Ohio. The Spartans shot an 8-over par 296 in Monday's final round at the historic Inverness Club and finished the tournament 15-over par and 879 overall, 9 shots in back of first place Florida. This is what MSU head coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll had to say. Quote, I think this is what we call a veteran team now, and our expectations are high. We did a lot of good stuff the last 2 days. We had one freshman in the lineup, which has to be intimidating to play your first tournament at Everness. The potential is there for us. We just need to put the pieces together. We have a deep team, so it will be a battle each week to get into the lineup. So that's a great start to the year for Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll and her fantastic MSU women's golf team, again, finishing third at the Glass City Invitational out in Ohio. All right, and some news here when it comes to the Michigan State women's soccer team. Michigan State freshman women's soccer player Paige Weber has been named Big Ten Freshman of the Week, as announced by the conference yesterday. Now, the Grand Blanc Michigan native scored twice and tallied an assist in the team's victory over Bowling Green. That was a 3-2 final on September 12th and a road win at Oakland 2-0, the final in that one, on September 15th. Weber, who is the only freshie to earn starts in all 8 games this season, is third on the team in points with 8 and goals with 3 and is tied for second with 1 game-winning goal. Awesome, awesome stuff there from Paige Weber. All right, some news concerning your Detroit Lions. The Lions weren't messing around during that off day. Hours after making an unexpected change at backup quarterback, the Lions made a similar roster change in the team's backfield yesterday afternoon, claiming running back Paul Perkins off of waivers from the New York Giants and releasing C.J. Anderson to clear room for that new addition. Perkins, a former fifth-round pick out of UCLA, has spent the past 3 seasons with the Giants. He hasn't played in a regular season game since 2017 when he averaged a paltry 2.2 yards on 41 rushing attempts. So again, Lions cut C.J. Anderson and claim Paul Perkins off of waivers. And some news from around the league, as New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees will undergo surgery on his throwing hand today in L.A. with Dr. Stephen Shin. That's being reported by ESPN's Ed Werder. Breeze is believed to have a ligament issue on his throwing thumb after injuring his throwing hand in Sunday's loss to the Rams. The 40-year-old was removed after he hit his throwing hand on Aaron Donald during a pass rush in the first quarter. Kind of an odd play. After Drew Breeze threw the football, his hand like went into the palm of Aaron Donald. So according to Werder, the timetable for his return won't be known until the surgery is complete, but ESPN's Adam Schefter reported the belief is Breeze will be sidelined for approximately 6 weeks. My, oh, my, how an outlook on a year can change due to the health of your quarterback. All right, and the Detroit Red Wings were in action. And I was a bit confused because, you know, as I was on my snowfall binge-watching session during that session, I hopped on Facebook just for a moment to see what was up. And some people were, like, updating their Facebook statuses with hockey updates with the Wings. And I'm like, what? Huh? What's going on here? What did I miss? But apparently the Wings had a preseason game yesterday against the Chicago Blackhawks. So the final in that one, 5-3. Jack, I'm pretty sure you knew that this was taking place. Did you watch that game at all? Preseason hockey, is that a thing? I don't even know these guys play preseason games.
Well, yeah, it's a thing. It's just like football. You got to figure out who makes the team. But no, I didn't really tune in. It was on in the background while I was doing some other stuff. I think some of my roommates were watching it a little more closely than I was, but yeah, man, preseason hockey, it's just the same as preseason football. They use the games to determine who ultimately makes the big team.
They aren't playing starters, are they?
They divide the teams up into two rosters, which consist of, you know, several NHL players on both teams, but no player plays all eight games. You know, the most an NHL established guy will play will probably be three or four preseason games.
Okay, kind of like the NFL then. Interesting. All right. Well, Wings got the dub 5-3. That's the first official win in the Stevie Y era, I guess. Right?
Fine. Whatever.
There you go.
I mean, they won the prospects tournament, if you count that, like a couple weeks ago.
What the heck is that?
So that's a tournament where they hosted, I believe, at Traverse City every single year, where the Red Wings and like six teams total bring in like their entire farm system and some camp invitees as well, and then they suit up and they kind of play a little round robin style tournament, and then whoever wins it wins it.
Interesting. All right, you learn something new every day. All right, well, Wings get the preseason win 5-3 over Chicago. Same can't be said for the Detroit Tigers as the Tigers fall to the Cleveland Indians for what I believe now is the 15th straight loss at the hands of Cleveland for the Tigers. 7-2, your final last night. The Tigers are now 45-105. Oh, that's ugly. All right, Rick Pitino and Louisville have reached a settlement in lawsuits stemming from his departure from the school in October of 2017, with Pitino receiving no money from the school. That announcement was made today. This is coming from the settlement agreement, which stated, quote, Pitino's personnel file shall reflect that his employment with ULAA ended as a result of a resignation. Now, Pitino, he sued the University of Louisville Athletic Association, ULAA, for breach of contract on November 30th of 2017 and was seeking more than $35 million. The ULAA filed counterclaims on December 13th of 2017, pursuing damages allegedly caused by the former basketball coach. Now, both Pitino's lawsuit and the ULAA countersuit were mutually dismissed as a result of this morning's settlement. So, former Louisville men's basketball coach Rick Pitino in Louisville, that legal battle is now over. And the Golden State Warriors star guard, Steph Curry, he is committed to playing for Team USA in next summer's Olympic Games out in Tokyo. This is what Curry said in an interview with ESPN's Rachel Nichols. Quote, that is the plan for sure. You know, obviously, knock on wood, you don't want any injuries or things like that to interfere, end quote. This will mark Curry's first appearance in the Olympics inexperience, he said he's looking forward to, when asked specifically by Nichols whether he was committed to the team, definitely want to go. I've never been on the Olympic team. I've been on two World Cup championship gold medal teams, but the Olympics is the experience that I want, and next year will hopefully be it. So Steph Curry is at least committed to the 2020 Olympics out in Tokyo. And I know there's been a lot made of what Team USA did in the FIBA World Championships. They did not win the championship, and there were a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, we're supposed to be, you know, we're supposed to represent the best players in the world, and we can't win the FIBA World Championships. What is going on? And then Greg Popovich came out and said, look, man, you can't underestimate these international teams. They are much better. This is not your grandfather's, you know, Brazil and Russian, you know, and Argentinian teams. You know, these teams are really, really good with a lot of talent, a lot of NBA talent, I might add as well. And fact of the matter is, I mean, who really cares about the FIBA World Championships and the FIBA World Cup? I mean, what matters is the Olympics, all right? And a lot of these big-time stars, American basketball stars like LeBron James and, you know, Kevin Durant and so on and so forth, these guys are looking at their bodies and saying, no, I don't want to play, you know? So what matters is the 2020 Olympics, though, and I'm excited that Steph Curry looks to be on that team. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you watching there and commenting below that live stream, thank you. And you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. I got some breaking news I want to pass along to you all. A senator from Brooklyn, a state senator from Brooklyn, is aiming to make New York the first state to require colleges to pay student athletes directly. Now, I know much has been made about this story, you know, in the context of California, because California is also, I believe they passed the bill. Yeah, the bill passed by a majority vote. It will not go in action until like 2022, though, something like that. But Senator Kevin Parker, he proposed a bill earlier this week that would give college athletes the right to sell their rights to their own names, images, and likenesses. Parker told ESPN today that he has since added an amendment that would require college athletic departments to give 15%, a 50% share of annual revenue to student athletes. The revenue, Parker said, would be divided equally among all student athletes who compete for the said school. So that's kind of a different model. So 50% share of the annual revenue that goes to the student athletes, and that is spread out evenly among all athletes there. That's a different model. So prior to the amendment in Parker's bill, no other state had proposed giving college athletes money directly from their schools. So I believe, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong, when it comes to the California bill, that's just strictly allowing players to benefit off of their names and likeness, right? So they can go out, hold an autograph session at a local car dealership and get paid from that if they want to, things of that nature. You know, do a local commercial, I don't know, things of that nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Not getting paid directly from the school.
No, it's just capitalizing off of your likeness, which, if we're being honest, is what needs to be passed first, because that's going to be the first step, because, you know, that's kind of where you could see schools lament a little bit and, you know, kind of cave in and give a little bit of ground, because if we're being honest, outside of, you know, losing a little bit of revenue off of jersey sales, the universities really wouldn't lose any money by students being able to profit off of their likenesses.
Right, exactly. And again, it's America. My goodness, you should be able to profit off of your likeness if people are willing to pay for your image and your likeness. Simple as that. That's just fairness. That's America, folks. We live in America, my goodness. And then Tim Tebow, boy, did he take a lot of heat for his... Now, his take was very passionate, I'll say that. And I understood from an emotional standpoint kind of where he was coming from, you know, as he was trying to defend the status quo in the NCAA, and he worries about how, you know, this California Fair Pay to Play Act could affect that. I get where he was coming from, but he totally missed the mark with that. I'm pretty sure many of you have seen that take by now, and you've seen many people like myself. I put on my social media how I tweeted it out, just how wrong and how misguided Tim Tebow was in that rant. So, but there you have that. So New York, again, this could make New York the first state to require the colleges themselves to pay student athletes directly. That story broke a little after noon today. So, and also another story that's getting a lot of traction here locally is, you know, and I was just having this conversation because I promise you, we're talking Lions today, all right? I promise you that. But, you know, when I was driving here to the station and I'm so bad at this. I need to get better at this. I'm looking at my cell phone and going through stuff on Twitter, and I see so many Spartan fans who were a bit perturbed. That's the word I'm choosing to describe it as. About what Coach D'Antonio had to say about Michigan State's offense. And what Coach D'Antonio basically said on Tuesday was that, quote, in regards to the defense, you got to be perfect. That's the challenge. Be perfect. That's what Coach D'Antonio stated yesterday. And a lot of people are up in arms about it because, you know, there's a few layers. Maybe there should have been more context with what Coach D'Antonio stated yesterday in regards to that said quote. Because when you read that, you know, it's like, man, do you have any confidence in your offense at all? You know, when you read that, you got to be perfect defense. That's the challenge. Be perfect. And, you know, shout out to my guy, Stephen Brooks of 247 Sports, because he wrote a piece this week about that quote, and I love how he starts it, because this is how he starts it. Quote, Mark D'Antonio has issued the same mandate to his Michigan State defense that Denzel Washington and Billy Bob Thornton gave to their teams while portraying football coaches in Remember the Titans and Friday Night Lights, respectively. And, yeah, you remember that part? You remember those? Well, of course, who does not remember the Titans and Friday Night Lights? I mean, those are like legendary sports films. Those two films make my top 10 sports films list. And yeah, you remember when Billy Bob's character and Denzel's character, they both said that, you know, I want perfection. Perfection. You got to be perfect. And when you read that quote from Coach D'Antonio, when you hear that, it's like, well, the offense has no confidence right now. You know, you feel like the head coach doesn't have any confidence in the offense to do anything. Where, in fact, you know, I think that because we were a bit surprised at the press conference prior to the Western game, right? Remember after Tulsa and Mark D'Antonio hit the – and, you know, he was very honest. He was candid. And I was joking with our very own Brad Walker. I don't know. Maybe as Coach D'Antonio gets older, he is coming more and more honest. You know, sometimes that happens when we get up in age. I know I experienced that with my great-grandmother, who went from just this very kind soul. And then when she hit her 90s, she would tell you like it is, man. Like, I mean, she would go off, you know. Now, some people age gracefully, okay? But, you know, I don't know, maybe we're getting a bit of that with D'Antonio now. You know, he's frustrated, and as the older he gets, he's being more candid and more honest with us. And he's basically, you know, he called out the Michigan State offense. He called out his assistant coaching staff that Tuesday prior to that 51-point mollywhopping of Western Michigan that week. And now, when reading this quote, the defense has to be perfect. Well, I think a lot of people would agree with that, right? I just necessarily, you know, I was telling Brad, you know, maybe that's one of those things that you say in the team meeting, the weekly team meeting, you know, when you can be honest and, you know, there aren't cameras around, there aren't mics around, you challenge your offense that way and say, look, man, you guys stunk it up last week. You got to be better. The defense has to be perfect. You guys got to be perfect because the offense isn't helping you out. Maybe you say that in a team setting, but to put that out there in the press, I don't know if I would have done that. I don't know. I think maybe that just adds too much fuel to the fire that is the disgruntled Michigan State football fan out there who is saying to him or herself that this offense stinks and the defense is carrying us. You want to hear at least some kind of hope from your head coach, right? When you're, you know, to say they got to be perfect, I don't know. I think just Coach D should have, and I reading between the lines here and knowing Coach D, he didn't mean that. You know, he didn't mean that I have no confidence in my offense. I don't truly believe he meant that. What I do think he meant is that our offense is struggling. I think we're going to figure this thing out, but our offense is struggling right now, and right now our defense has to play perfect to keep us in ball games. That's the PR answer that you give, or the PR response to that quote. So, you know, he went on, though, to say, I mean, we played a bit of the press conference yesterday for you guys. He went on to say that, quote, it may seem unfair. And then, you know, senior linebacker and captain Joe Bocci was asked about it. Quote, we always strive to be perfect. It's not like we're going to go out there and try to be average. We're going to go out there and try to be perfect again this Saturday. I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably not going to happen. You can never play perfect. No one's ever perfect. But we're going to go out there. We're going to try and shoot for. So I don't know. I think people are kind of reading too much into this. You're hypersensitive right now. This is what happens after every bad Michigan State performance or every bad performance from your team. All right, I feel the same way when it comes to my Dallas Cowboys and Detroit Pistons. I get it. You know, you become hypersensitive to anything that's said, read between the lines, and, you know, that frustration boil over. I think this is a bit overblown. I get what he's saying, though. In all honesty, Coach D'Antonio isn't lying here, though, is he? He's not lying.
No, I don't think he's lying at all. I mean, you know, pursuing perfection, I guess, it's just one of those kind of like cliche phrases, you know what I mean? But no, I don't see any problem with it with at that point. But for me, you know, with where I'm at with Michigan State and Mark D'Antonio, you know what, it's time to bounce back. And I don't really care what he says during the week. It's time to see what the team puts out on Sunday, or on Saturday, should I. Are they going to look sharp? Are they not going to cut a million penalties offensively? Are they going to not just be able to move the ball, but are they going to be able to finish drives? And, you know, see what they do on Saturday in Evanston. You know, that's obviously not exactly the most hostile environment, given that it's probably going to be at least half Spartan fans. So, you know, we'll right. see how the Spartans are able to respond.
Did you have a problem with the quote? Do you like him kind of – how do you read that quote? Because when I heard it, I'm like, all right, I probably would have – I kind of had the thought. I'm like, okay, that could possibly blow up because fans could look at that and say, wow, Coach D has no confidence in his offense. And it is kind of a public calling out of the offense – but not to the extreme that I think some people are taking it. Did you have a problem with him saying that?
No, not at all, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. A few comments coming in on our Facebook page. You know, I'm going to get to those in just a moment. Let's hit our first break. I'll read a few of your comments coming in on our Facebook page. If you want to call in and weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And we're going to dive into some Detroit Lions talk as well, as your Detroit Lions are undefeated. We'll see if that continues as they will take on the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday. All right, but that and more, you are listening to the Wednesday Hump Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I do want to add, because I saw this on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you watching the show there, watching and listening to the show there, and commenting there. And Ben, you commented and said that the team and players had a players only meeting yesterday, and that is in fact true. Jack just read a quote coming from Joe Bocci saying that after the team had a meeting with the coaching staff, the players had a meeting, and they talked about things. And Brian Lewerke, I don't know how even that quote came up. I guess he was asked about division in the locker room, but he said there is no division in the locker room. I wouldn't imagine so. I mean, it's so early in the season. You don't want any division in the locker room, you know. And you know, I've always been curious, though. You know, when you look at a team like Michigan State, where the defense seems to be carrying this squad, whether or not, you know, from if you're a defensive player, you're sitting there looking at the offense saying, would you guys just get your stuff together? Because we're out here, you know, busting our tails and playing lights out, and you guys can't put up points. You know, does that create any division? So, according to Brian Lewerke, there is no division in the locker room. Steven says, we better show up this weekend. That is very true. You don't want to start off the Big Ten year in the losing column. I totally agree with you there, Steven. Northwestern, though, is just, I don't know, man. I that's going to be a tough game. That is a really tough way to start the Big Ten year. And Michigan State always has some trouble against Northwestern. That's just how it always goes. Ben says, nobody is ever perfect. No game is ever perfect. Yep, and that's what you strive for, though. Again, like Jack said, it's a cliche that we all use in different professions. You know, I try to be as perfect as I can be in multiple areas of my life every day I wake up. But nobody is perfect. That's just what we strive to be. Alex comments on our Facebook page and says, if your mindset is anything else, you lack confidence in your abilities. If you lack confidence, you need to find it quickly. So, yeah, there you go. Some strong thoughts there from a few of our current sports viewers on Facebook. If you want to call in, phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right. The Detroit Lions, folks, your Lions. Just going to briefly touch on them real quick because they are undefeated right now. It's something that I don't get to say often. You don't get to say often, but you technically are. You have not lost a game. You have one tie that became that came to fruition, I should say, after game one when you took on the Arizona Cardinals on the road to open up the year. It's a game that should have been a win. Should have been a win, but again, I'm not going to harp on that. You didn't lose it, all right? That's I guess, the main takeaway from that.
Yeah, whatever.
You didn't lose, Jack. You don't want to lose. So you beat the Cardinals in week two in a game that you could have lost. You dodge another bullet, man, like Neo from the Matrix, as I like to say, and you get the win there. And how about Darius Slay? Because, you know, he's like the guy of that Detroit Lions defense, you know, Pro Bowler. He's a fantastic athlete, but let's be honest here. He wasn't great on Sunday. He was picked on by Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen pretty much all game, but Darius Big Play Slay, as they call him, he got the last laugh, pulling off a pretty big play in which Phillip Rivers got a bit overconfident, chucked the ball down the field into some bad coverage, and Darius Slay, he was quoted after the game and saying, bleep, that's mine. So he caught the interception, and that was pretty much it. Overall, though, a few takeaways when looking at that game between the Lions and the Chargers, as the Lions now get ready to take on a banged-up Philadelphia Eagles team this Sunday. Matthew Stafford, you know, that was an up and down day for him, wasn't it? He looked great in Week One. I was very impressed with Matthew Stafford in Week One, but Week Two was a bit worrisome. The two interceptions really cost the team dearly. Thank goodness that the Lions didn't lose that game, or else we would really be harping on those INTs, and you would hear a lot of people bringing up those two plays. Just some bad, bad throws. You know, the first one was into the end zone in, I believe, the third quarter when he underthrew receiver Kenny Golladay, and the ball ended up in the hands of corner Casey Hayward. Bad throw. And then the second, I couldn't believe that one. I thought it was worse than the first one. The second was just an ill-advised throw deep. Matthew Stafford trying to go long. It was into double coverage downfield and just wasted an entire possession for the Lions. I couldn't believe that one. It was just a bad throw. I don't know. Matthew Stafford thought he saw the second coming of Calvin Johnson or something like that, and just threw it down the field. That was like a Megatron type play where he's like, I know CJ is going to go up there and get that. Stafford, you don't have Megatron on your team anymore. All right, I don't know what that was, but that wasted an entire possession for Detroit. I thought though he did have his moments in that game, had some really good throws. You know, that fourth quarter touchdown pass to Kenny Golladay was right on the money.
It's a big time throw.
Wasn't that big time throw, Jack? Yeah. I mean, that was beautiful. That was one of my favorite throws of the entire day in the NFL. I mean, that was amazing. A perfectly placed laser right to Kenny Golladay, and Kenny Golladay can make some noise, man. I have him on one of my fantasy teams. He got me like 20 something points. So that's, you guys don't care about my fantasy team, but I'm just saying, Kenny Golladay is, I think he's a young, talented receiver. And, I saw Matthew Stafford do that multiple times on Sunday, though, you know, where he put a lot of those passes on a rope, hit a lot of windows that many quarterbacks in this league cannot throw in. He still needs to clean up some of those errors, though. Those interceptions do worry me, because I think Matthew Stafford, there's times when he looks amazing, and there's times where you sit there and say, what are you thinking? You know, but overall, decent performance. I would give Matthew Stafford maybe a B, just a B, not a B plus or B minus. I'm just giving him a B. All right. Special teams needs help. I don't know what was going on Sunday. Detroit special teams overall, though, through these first two games have not been great. You know, last week, you know, the week prior to against Arizona, we saw a late block punt that allowed the Arizona Cardinals to force that game into overtime. Don't know what in the heck was going on there. And then this past weekend, you know, we saw a lot of special teams errors that cost the team in this game. And then again, could have led to a loss for the Lions. Former first-team All-Pro return man Jamal Agnew, he's having trouble right now finding lanes on punt returns.
He just does not look like the same guy from 2 years ago, coming off the injury.
I tweeted that on Sunday, Jack. He doesn't look like the same guy. I don't know what's going on with him.
For one, I don't think he's got any confidence, but I just think in his mind, he's almost thinking to himself, like, how did I ever do this? Yeah. Which, like, for Agnew 2 years ago, he was a great returner. He had great vision. I remember he housed two punts. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, it looked like a hell of a pick by Bob Quinn, but you know, what Agnew has done through 2 weeks this season, coming off of missing missing all of last season with, I believe, an Achilles or an ACL injury, something like that, has not been impressive at all.
It hasn't. It hasn't. And he has also caught a case of the fumbles as well. I don't know what's going on with Jamal Agnew, but he's got to figure that out ASAP. And then the penalties. You know, special teams penalties have also become a huge problem for the team as well. You know, it seems like every time they are on the field, you know, they're responsible for some kind of flag. All right. And then Matt Prater, who is usually unreliable, he missed a field goal and an extra point. I don't know. He was sipping the juice that Matt Coughlin had the day prior too. I don't know what was going on there, man. So there needs to be some fixes when it comes to the Detroit Lions special teams. I don't know. Maybe some personnel changes need to happen. We'll see. We'll see if Matt Patricia does, in fact, make some adjustments there. You know, I was impressed, though. I mean, you know, goodness, the Lions dodged a bullet because, you know, when it comes to the Chargers, they weren't great on special teams as well. Did they miss two field goals in that game, Jack, or just one?
No, he finished 1 for 3 on the day. Yeah, he missed two field goals.
He missed two field goals. So, yeah, he I don't even know who the kicker is for the Chargers.
It's not Badgley anymore because he's hurt. So I don't even remember the gentleman's name, but I believe he's a rookie this year.
He's a rookie this year. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he was not great either. So the Lions dodged some bullets there, right? I mean, you missed two field goals there. And then, you know, the goal line fumble. I mean, that was huge. I believe it was Jelani Tavai that he caused the fumble. And then I believe it was Devon Kennard who picked up and recovered the fumble. Heads up play.
So actually, I was wrong. It was their punter, Ty Long, who kicked their extra points and field goals, which makes zero sense to me.
Because the usual guy is injured.
Yes, he is. It would just seem to me that even if he's only questionable during the week, you got to sign another kicker. You can't be going out with your punter. That's inexcusable.
Exactly.
Now, that's why they lost.
Because kicking isn't kicking, because it's a different skill set, I guess. I mean, if a guy can punt, can he also kick a field goal?
No, because who was the guy for the Lions a couple of years ago when Jason Hansen got hurt? I don't remember who it was, but they had a punter try to go out and kick a field goal. He got hurt doing it.
But some guys can do it, though. I'm so ignorant to that. I'm like, well, you're a kicker. You go out there and just kick the football.
I mean, it's some guys, you know, kicked in college and then wound up being like punters. Like Pat McAfee did that when he was getting to the NFL. He was a kicker in college. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't seem to me that it's like too much of a different skill set. Like growing up, if you're your team's punter, you're probably also their kicker, unlike your high school team in a lot of circumstances. So I can see how it would be similar, but you know, at the NFL level, to make a 50-yard kick, I guess when you're usually a punter, probably is a pretty different range of motion.
Yeah, a little bit too. Yeah, I could see that as well. It's like, yeah, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different kind of mental trip that kind of takes you on. If you're used to just punting the ball and you know, pressure's on the line now and you have to just be thrown into the fire as now the field goal kicker, I guess it's a different kind of world for you. So, but that was a huge play too. I mean, I'm just looking at the little moments here that should have led to a Detroit Lions loss. Again, the two missed field goals, thank goodness the fumble on the goal line caused by Jelani Tavai, picked up by Devon Kennard. That was big. And in the end, the Detroit Lions do, in fact, get the win, 13-10. That was the final in that game. So now, you know, the Lions move on, and they will play a Philadelphia Eagles team on the road, 1 p.m. this Sunday on Fox. An Eagles team that is not happy, as the Eagles, they fell to 1-1 on the year with a loss to the Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, that was a 24-20 loss. And the Eagles are beaten up a bit here. It actually led, I saw this report this morning, the Eagles actually canceled practice today in favor of a walkthrough as they deal with a ton of injuries in front of that week three home game against the Lions. You know, and, you know, we saw DeSean Jackson. He was out with a groin injury. He's actually expected to miss 2 weeks with what's being called an abdominal strain. And Alshon Jeffrey in tight end, Dallas Goedert, am I saying that right?
I've heard Goedert and Goddard. Yeah.
Goddard. Dallas Goddard. I think it's Goddard. Yeah. Dallas Goddard. They both have calf strains. It's being reported that they could also miss Sunday's game. And those injuries are going to now push young receivers J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
He was a good player in college, the Stanford guy.
He was solid.
He was a very good player.
He was solid. And also Mac Hollins up in the depth chart. So it's, I get, and you don't want to see injuries. I don't care who you root for, period. You don't want to see injuries when it comes to players. But for the Lions, you know, this works in their favor. If you're missing key guys to that offense like DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffery. And I must say, you know, Carson Wentz, he hasn't looked lights out so far.
He was great week one once the team got going. They fell behind something like 21-6 against the Redskins. But, I mean, the last probably three quarters of that game, he was lights out. But you know what? For me, Carson Wentz, I don't think it's been his play. I think it's been he's got no one left to throw it to because everyone on his team is hurt.
He's got a lot of injuries to deal with. And I really thought the Eagles, when Carson Wentz, he led the Eagles down there for that last drive, that go-ahead drive. And remember the throw that he had?
To Nelson Aguilar that bounced right off his hands. He would have gone to the end zone untouched if he catches that ball.
For sure, without a doubt. And you know, he's a really tough player, but the Lions may come out here fortunate that, you know, the Eagles aren't at 100%, because I think this gives them a really good shot of possibly pulling off an upset here. I think the Eagles are favored.
Yeah, they're a touchdown favorite. The game is being played at the Link still, so we'll see what happens.
Yep, it's in Philly. So we'll see what happens, man. But, you know, thoughts, I think the Lions are very fortunate. I'll just say that. I don't want to take away how good you guys are feeling, because there have been some bright spots, no doubt about it. There have been some bright spots on that Detroit Lions defense, I think. And Matthew Stafford has played some good ball. Kenny Galladay, I really like him. We'll see what happens, though, as the season moves along. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Michigan football team as they are a slight underdog against Wisconsin this Saturday. That and more. We'll be right back. Exactly 10 minutes left here in this hour, this edition of WKAR's Current Sports. And I want to bring the show home by discussing briefly the Michigan Wolverines and the Wisconsin Badgers, as Michigan will be taking on Wisconsin to open up Big Ten play this Saturday. And according to the odds makers, Michigan is an underdog at Wisconsin. And, you know, if that seems a bit rare, well, it is. You know, the Wolverines usually aren't underdogs when it comes to Big Ten play, especially. Actually, Michigan has not been a betting underdog since the 2017 season. According to historical betting data on oddshark.com, this article is coming from oddshark.com, and also confirmed by other sources, Michigan closed as a 12.5-point dog on November 25th, 2017.
I'm gonna guess which game that was real quick.
Go ahead. Just
so 12.5-point dog.
Yep.
I'm gonna say that was. Wait. Give me the date one more time.
November 25th, 2017.
Oh, that's the Ohio State game. Never mind, because that's Thanksgiving. I was thinking it was gonna be Penn State, because that's about what they were.
Yeah.
That's about what Penn State was a favorite that season, too.
Yeah, November 25th, 2017. You're right, Jack, against Ohio State. And the Wolverines have been a favorite by kickoff in every game since. That's including all of last season and the first two games so far of 2019.
So that's not just Big Ten play, that's all. They were favored against Notre Dame last year?
Yeah, they were.
Ooh, free money right there.
How about that, man? So that streak is probably going to come to an end this Saturday as the line sits at right now at 3 or 3.5, depending on what, you know, which sports book you're looking at. And, you know, Michigan, again, has not been an underdog, you know, this early in the season since the first game that Jim Harbaugh coached at Michigan, which was the 2015 season opener at Utah, which was a loss. It is the first time the program is getting points in its Big Ten opener since 2008. That year, a 1-2 Michigan squad was a 4.5-point underdog at home against number 9 Wisconsin to open up Big Ten play. The Wolverines ended up pulling off that upset. So, Michigan, 2-0 on the year, ranked number 11 in the Associated Press poll. The Badgers are also 2-0, ranked 13th in the AP poll. And we all know what happened before. And this was a great week for Michigan to have a bye week because, you know, you dodge a bullet against the Black Knights of Army. You clearly need to work on some things and go back to the drawing board when it comes to, you know, that offense, specifically that offense. And looking at Wisconsin has outscored opponents 110-0 and has been favored in every home game since October 15th of 2016. So that's not a good trend for Michigan right now as an underdog. And the Wolverines have actually lost 13 games in a row when the other team is favored. Last winning on November 16th, 2013 at Northwestern. They've lost 19 of their last 20 as underdogs. Wow. That's pretty glaring. So if I was a betting man, I'm going with Wisconsin to win this game, Jack. You know, those are pretty glaring historical statistics broken down by oddshark.com when it comes to Michigan's history as underdogs.
Do you think they cover the 3.5?
I do.
You do?
I do. I think Wisconsin does on Saturday. No. So I think that, you know, and again, we'll dive more into a preview later on this week. But, you know, this Michigan team has a lot of question marks. You know, I've just got a lot of question marks overall when it comes to Michigan, especially when it comes to that offense, because Michigan's offense has been so inconsistent. They have not taken care of the ball. Now, I know Army is a different kind of team.
All right, that's being overstated at this point, though. Michigan still looked terrible in
that
game.
They still look bad, though. Exactly. Even though Army is a different team, they still look bad, and they're not hitting for big plays as well. I mean, it's just a lot of question marks, and I think Wisconsin right now is in a groove. I think Wisconsin's going to win this game on Saturday.
Oh, they absolutely. I mean, let's put it this way, Al. If Michigan looks the way they've looked through their first two games, there's absolutely no chance that they cover 3.5 points. And on the flip side, when you look at Wisconsin, you know, early indications through two games is that they've been very, very, very impressive. And I guess the big story for them so far is Jack Cohn at the quarterback position because, you know, everyone knew Jonathan Taylor's a stud. You know, Wisconsin's always got big men up front on both sides of the ball who are very impressive.
Right.
But, you know, the transition from Alex Hornibrook from last year to this year with Jack Cohn is, you know, Cohn's maybe, it kind of seems like he may be a little bit more than just a game manager, which, you know, I don't think a lot of people expected coming out of Madison this year, and he's impressed through 2 weeks. So, you know, where Michigan has struggled their first couple games and, you know, early reports are not promising, Wisconsin has been very impressive to start this season.
They have. They've looked really good, man, in so many different areas, too. So, yeah, I think that, you know, and also Michigan moving forward as well. I mean, Michigan has one of the nation's toughest remaining schedules.
Probably the toughest, to be honest.
Yeah.
Probably the toughest,
Jack. Yeah, you can make that argument, man, because with five games left against ranked opponents, wow, that's really tough. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, and it's, you know, it's why you play the game. But at the end of the day, man, this Michigan football team, especially when I watch what happened against Army, I said I think I tweeted out, you know, the Black Panther meme with Michael B. Jordan playing Eric Killmonger, you know, the part of that movie where he says, "Is this your king? Is this your king?" And I said, you know, is this your preseason Big Ten favorite? I'm not sold. And then, you know, it's so funny though when I know, Jack. And it, you know, but you know, Colin Cowherd, Cowherd's my guy. He's my guy. I like listening to, you know, he's kind of like, you know, a certain radio host in Detroit. Like, that's your guy that we talk about all the time.
No, absolutely. I like Cowherd too. Yeah. No, Cowherd's smart. Yeah.
But he is just I don't understand his blind love of the Michigan Wolverines. It is all about, he is the biggest Jim Harbaugh fan you'll ever meet in your life. And he did it this morning. He had a whole bit. I didn't watch the bit, but he kind of teased it. And I'm like, here he goes again. I wonder what he's going to say this time when it comes to Jim Harbaugh. He actually liked. Did you see his tweet after the Michigan and Army game?
There was borderline trolling where he talked about how great of a coach Jim Harbaugh is.
Yes.
Because he lets the little guys think that they have a chance against him when Army was literally, as time expiring, kicking what would have been a game-winning field goal against Michigan that they missed.
Exactly. Exactly. He said, you know, he basically was saying, you know, it's like, yeah, it kind of reminded, the tweet reminded me of, you know, the whole Lucy and Charlie Brown situation.
But right? I think that was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, though, from Cowherd. Like, he couldn't have been 100%. You can't be 100% serious there.
I think he is. I think he is. Especially listening to him this morning, the way he teased it. You know, I'm a Jim Harbaugh guy, and I'm going to explain why in a minute. So, yeah, I just don't understand. And he represents how a lot of Michigan fans feel, though, when it comes to Harbaugh. Even though the dude has accomplished nothing in Ann Arbor. All right. Well, that's it for this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We'll see you on Thursday. Until then, please have a fantastic rest of your afternoon and evening. And as always, be easy, people.